This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
All right, wine and crime fans, we have a very special new podcast that we want to tell you about. It is from our friend and brilliant virtuoso podcaster, Patrick Hines, the creator and co-host of True Crime Obsessed, and his new podcast is called Obsessed with Disappeared. So it's another true crime comedy podcast, and this one recaps in order episodes of everyone's favorite true crime TV show, IDs Disappeared. I mean,
I love that show. I am so excited for this podcast. And although they are a comedy podcast, they don't victim blame or shame. They consider themselves to be victim advocates. So, like, bravo. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you can't have fun with it. Mm-hmm. So this is hosted by Patrick Hines and his best friend of 20 years, Broadway diva Ellen Marsh. Mm-hmm. So if you're serious about true crime, but you also love to laugh, which obviously you're listening to our show, so if you don't like those two things, you're probably in the wrong place.
We're assuming you do, though.
Assuming that you do, Obsessed with Disappeared is going to be your new favorite podcast. Check them out. You won't regret it.
Yeah. So here is a quick clip from Obsessed with Disappeared. We know you're going to love it. Go subscribe. And now.
Should we start?
Yeah, let's. Okay. All right. I don't know. This is the problem.
Just follow me.
I don't know who's going to be louder.
Oh, I thought you were going to admit to not knowing what you were doing.
I know everything that I'm doing. I invented you. You're welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, you guys. Hi. Welcome to episode one of Obsessed with Disappeared.
Episode uno.
Uno.
For all of our Spanish-speaking listeners. You're welcome.
Okay, if you're listening to this, at any point in the early days of this podcast, you probably are either a Broadway gay that knows Ellen.
Right.
Or
hey.
Or you listen to another podcast called True Crime Obsessed, which I make with Jillian Pensavalli. And here's the deal. On True Crime Obsessed, we recap true crime documentaries, right? But here's the thing. I am obsessed with the cases of missing people. So I wanted to make a podcast where we got to talk about those kinds of cases. And so I thought we would do what I do, which is recap things. So we would tell missing persons cases by recapping the episodes that covered that case on the ID show Disappeared.
Why are you, you're already yelling at me.
I'm excited to be doing this with you. Are you not excited? We can stop right now if you want.
Do you hear the lady voice? I have dealt with that lady voice for 20 years.
This is the other thing we need to tell the people. First of all, who the hell are you?
Oh, literally nobody. My name is Ellen Marie Marsh.
So you're from the Broadway. The last count, you've been in 5 brand new Broadway shows.
Yeah, but my biggest claim to fame is I'm Patrick Hines' best friend from the time we were, well, we've known each other for about 20 years, uh-huh. And we met when we were 6.
Yeah. We. If you're doing the math, you guys, it's not quite adding up. The one thing I want to say about this podcast, this is not a substitute for watching IDs Disappeared. If you guys do not know this show, go watch it. Yeah. Everybody in the true crime world is obsessed with this show.
It's really, really well made. It's really good. And it's succinct. I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
Do you know this?
I don't know.
My biggest fear in life since I'm like 6 is getting kidnapped. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, but I can pretty much guarantee it's never going to happen because you're too fucking loud.
That is, I mean, yes, it's been my defense mechanism. That's why I am the way I am.
The kidnapper would be midway dragging you out of the car and you'd be screaming. So the guy, he'd be like, oh, fuck this.
He'd be like, fuck this chick and just drive away.
All right, girl, let's dive in. Episode one. The disappearance of Brandi Wells.
Where is she?
I mean, like, where is she?
Where is she?
Where are they?
Oh, God, this is so crazy.
A passionate young woman about to get a second chance in life takes a risk in going to an East Texas nightclub alone.
She told me she was going to the club to meet some friends. So this was her one last chance to go out and have a little fun, kick it up.
I told her, I said, Brandi, please just be very careful.
But when her car is found abandoned on a major interstate.
No sign of a struggle. There was no sign of Brandi.
Did she run out of gas and get picked up by a trucker, or did she meet somebody at the club?
Investigators race against the clock to piece together the last known steps of Brandi Wells.
The episode is called The End of Innocence. Okay, just to jump right in, right? The disappearance happened on Thursday, August 3rd, 2006, right?
Which it doesn't really feel like that long ago, but that was a really long time ago.
2006 was a whole other world.
Technology was different.
Facebook didn't exist.
Yeah, smartphones. Smartphones weren't invented until 2007.
We both had MySpace pages.
Flip phones.
I don't even know if you were in my top eight. The look on your face.
Wow.
So now, like, immediately it's the day before, right? It's Wednesday, August 2nd, 2006. We're in a little town called Tyler, Texas, which is also a great porn name, I think.
Tyler, Texas?
Yeah.
Sure. So she lived in Brownsboro, Texas.
Yeah.
But she went to Tyler, Texas to go see her mom and stay with her mom for a little bit, see her childhood best friend.
It's crazy because, like, we get the whole story of, like, Brandi walks into her, like, childhood home and her mom, like, somebody says, like, her mom was really excited because her younger sister got to bed and the mom was bored of just like watching TV.
My younger daughter was already in bed. She had not been feeling very good that day, so she went ahead and laid down, and it was really nice to see Brandi walk through that door. Thinking I was going to get to spend some time with her.
Brandi's mom is like, I was so excited I was going to get to spend time with my daughter. And Brandi's like, not really, Mom.
I'm going to a nightclub. Sorry, bae. She's
like... So this is what we learned. Like, she had been in school 2 years ago.
Right.
She got married and then quickly divorced.
She ended up getting a divorce and then moved down to San Antonio.
I think she went through a tough time, but she made it through and she had strength. And I'm not exactly sure where it came from, but she definitely had strength to keep going.
I was like, hold on a second. Where's that husband? Like,
yeah.
We know that she goes missing, and immediately I'm like, where is this bitch?
Always the husband.
Always the husband.
Always the husband or a boyfriend or someone that works at Lens Crafters. It's always someone.
It's Don from Lens Crafters.
It's always Don.
Where was he that weekend?
I still don't believe that, like, punch in, punch out card. Your mom was the manager. It's fine. I digress.
I have this big glaring note that says, all I know right now is I've got eagle eyes on the husband. So what's happening here is that Brandi was going back to college a couple miles away.
She got a scholarship.
Because she was on the Flag Corps.
Who knew Flag Corps was so lucrative?
But can I just
She was
you?
At a Flag Corps scholarship.
As soon as I saw this, I was like, this is the kind of girl we would hang out with. Do you know how badly I wanted to be in the Flag Corps?
Did
when
you
I was-
try out?
No, I don't know why. It's
Are you lying?
No. I think that it must have conflicted with Drama Club, which is the only reason why I wouldn't have done
but
the Flag Corps.
You didn't get a scholarship for Drama Club, so who's smarter, you or Brandi Wells? Because she got a scholarship.
So now we're back to, like, that day in August in 2006 when she's gone to visit her mom, because we learn that she's starting school tomorrow or very soon or whatever, but the announcer's like...
But before she returns to school, there's one thing Brandi is intent on doing.
And it's like going dancing.
Yeah, she wanted to go to a club. And she was like, she asked her sister. Her sister's like, nah. She asked like her friend. Her friend's like, nah.
Well, the other thing is, did you get the name of the bar that the mom thinks she's going to?
Isn't it the Electric Cowboy?
Tell me that's not a gay bar. Which drag queen was performing that night?
Mom, I'm just going to Electric Cowboy with Steve. Oh, God.
This is the other thing that is so tragic, because this really comes back. She's like, Mom, my car sucks and I'm basically out of gas. Can I take your car?
I knew the car that she was driving was not in the best of shape. And she asked me, well, can I borrow your car? And I told her, I don't have the gas either. She gave me a kiss on the cheek and walked out the door. And that was it.
Here's the other thing. This is how small town this is. Before going to the gay bar, the obvious gay bar Electric Cowboy to see Ben and LeCreme or like RuPaul performing, she stops in at the bar at the bowling alley to have a drink. And it just seems, the thing is like, it feels so sweet to me.
Yeah.
And she tells the bartender, who the narrator tells us is like bartender / longtime family friend.
Right.
She just came through the door and of course I immediately recognized Brandy. And just smiling and sweet. And she sat down in front of me and she said, Jeanette, Mom said I could have a drink on her tab. I said, okay.
Wait, please tell me if you remember what kind of drink she ordered.
I certainly do. She ordered a cherry vodka sour.
How gross. They were like, she orders a cherry vodka sour. I was like, ew. That's like all I can think about.
So like to nobody's surprise when she leaves, the drink is still half full.
I know.
She's like, oh shit, this is gross.
Yeah, she's like, this is actually gross. And she didn't want to like offend Jeanette Green, who like worked at the bowling alley. She's like, thanks, girl.
So Jeanette Green is the bartender. And she's saying to us that like, she's really cautioning Brandy to be safe. Because Brandy is telling her, my mom thinks I'm going to that gay club, the Golden Cowboy or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Electric Cowboy.
The Electric Circus or whatever. And she's like, but I'm not. My gays can't go out tonight.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm going to this bar 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
And Jeanette is saying to her, girl, be careful. Yeah. You don't know what's out there. And in fact, I know another woman who went missing in exactly the way that you're going out tonight.
Yeah.
Her friend, Glenda Moorhead, went missing after leaving a Tyler bar alone over 2 decades ago. For Jeanette, the similarities are uncanny. Right down to the bar stool Brandy's sitting on.
Brandy's like, I hear you, girl, but I'm going to be just fine.
When Brandy was sitting in front of me, almost she could have been sitting side by side with Glenda. And I told her the same thing, and she had the same attitude. It made me angry.
Brandy is like sitting in the exact same seat that Glenda had been sitting in the night she went missing. You guys, people have to stop going to visit Jeanette before they go out.
Yeah,
not Jeanette's fault.
But okay. I mean, you know, sure.
Stop going to visit Jeanette before you go to the bars.
That just needs to be rule number one. I'm going to go see Jeanette.
Wine and Crime listeners, it's Patrick. Thank you so, so much for checking out the first 11 minutes or so of our brand new podcast, Obsessed With Disappeared. The complete episode 1 and episode 2 are available right now wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope you'll check it out. Okay, bye.